We Talk Podcast presents.
Welcome to the Stick Boy Podcast. I'm Joel Johnson. Today, we've got a very special two-part podcast for you. Part one was recorded a couple days ago when the New Japan signing, or potential New Japan signing, broke. And me and Josh got really excited about it. We recorded a podcast. It was a big deal. We even talked about what we think the road to WrestleMania may look like. And then the news broke yesterday. John Cena, shoulder injury, out. So now we had to tag that on. So part one is really just the New Japan signings and what we originally thought the road to WrestleMania was going to look like. Part two is the Cena injury and the implications it has on the road to WrestleMania. So without further ado, check out part one and part two right now and enjoy.
What it is, what it do, welcome to the first official One Fall of 2016. Joshua Adam William Arbuthnot with the one, the only, the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joe Johnson.
How's it going?
It is an interesting time in the world of the WWE, in the world of professional wrestling, in the land of the rising sun, Joel. But it's an interesting time there. It's an interesting time in the WWE.
Yeah, like this. I found myself more interested in just the social media aspect of last Monday night than the actual show itself. It wasn't until the main event that I finally tuned in, but just that kind of that hype, that kind of that high you're on as a wrestling fan, suddenly you start booking and going, this could happen or this could happen. Oh my God, this could happen. It really just kind of takes a hold.
So let's go with what Joel's talking about last. Well, I guess on the 4th, really. Dave Meltzer had been given information that AJ Styles, Nakamura, and Karl Anderson and Doc Gallows had given their notice to New Japan Wrestling and that they would be joining the WWE. Now, nothing is still confirmed, and in fact, Dave Meltzer today has confirmed that Japan is still working to continue to try to bring Nakamura back. No contracts have been signed. Cannot stress that enough. And like I said, Japan is working hard to keep Nakamura there currently. So we can't confirm anything of that sort. It seems like out of anything, though, Doc Gallows, Karl Anderson, and AJ are almost, I'd say, what, Joel, 90, 90,
I'd
95?
Give him
80. Yeah. Okay, here goes. I'd say AJ's pretty much, just from what Finn Balor's been tweeting today, I think those guys are 80 to 90.
Yeah, and I mean, you look at kind of Finn's tweets and kind of the conversations that they've had, making sure that they were asking Finn to make sure they had Bellor Club shirts ready for them. It was just little snippets here that we always kind of brushed off, but now you kind of look at it and kind of go, "This has been in the works for a little bit."
AJ Styles has been in the works since about November, is what they've been saying.
And, you know, I think it's a big deal. I think what really set the tone was what happened at SummerSlam.
Yes.
Basically the FU to the WWE from New Japan. Really, I think when you upset WWE, you're messing with someone that has a very, very deep pocket that can buy your talent. And I think on the other side, you're having some of your biggest stars away from their home. That's another big thing that I think. AJ's away from his home, Karl Anderson's away from his home, and Doc Gallows is away from his home.
And you talk about two of those guys. I don't know as much about Karl Anderson's family life, but AJ has kids that, you know, he obviously loves. It's been part of his promos in TNA, and he has the tattoos on the side. And Doc Gallows just got married.
Yeah. And you think those factors start to play in. I bet you New Japan's a lot of fun. I bet you they've had memories that will last forever. But I think it came down to, we got to strike while the iron's hot. They're gonna make bank. I think AJ particularly is gonna make bank. And you get to come in and you get to work with some really talented guys. Like, I miss the fact that Seth Rollins and Daniel Bryan are hurt and CM Punk's gone from the company. Feels like it's a little bit of a missed opportunity for some, but I think these guys are fantastic talents. This is a huge, as long as this is all true, like everything that was said, that the four guys are coming over, this is a huge get for WWE. There's a lot of possibility, and WWE really hurts New Japan and ROH. This changes the landscape of pro wrestling.
It does, and I think one thing I have to talk about with Japan, it's kind of what MVP talked about a while ago. He didn't say it like this, but I think when he left for New Japan, he left the WWE to go to New Japan, but then he eventually went to TNA. I think Japan is just a bucket list thing. It's not something you stay at. Even you look at a guy like Albert, who yeah. now is a head trainer in WWE, and I'm sure he's had a little bit of play in this as well. Because did he not tag team with Carl Anderson?
Yes, I believe he tag team with either Carl Anderson or Doc Gallows.
I think it was Carl Anderson because when it was Giant Bernard. And so I'm sure he has some influence in bringing Carl Anderson down. But I think Japan isn't like you. It's great to wrestle in Japan, and it's a bucket list thing. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter if you're AJ Styles and you're a New Japan champion, you've been an NWA champion, you've been the TNA champion. At the end of the day, you look at a guy like Sting this year, it doesn't matter until you're with the flagship.
Yeah. And that's another big thing. You got to look at it as, like, there's some guys that I don't think will ever see in WWE, and it's just the way it is.
I don't really think there's any big ones anymore. I think Sting and AJ were, like, the last two big ones. Yeah. Bobby Roode's, after this is Bobby Roode. And is Bobby Roode really as big of a name as AJ or Sting?
No, not really.
No, yeah.
I think I look at it this way. I look at WWE. If I was New Japan, personally, I would have joined forces with them because mm-hmm. then you're suddenly getting Western eyes on your product. And yes, I know you feel that WWE is going to see who's popular and take them, but that doesn't mean you can't sit there and work with Vince and Hunter, especially Hunter. I think he sees that if you have a deal with New Japan Pro Wrestling, you could make so much money.
Well, and again, you have a guy like Albert who knows the customs of it. I mean, we make fun of this guy. But even John Laurinaitis, say what we want to say about John Laurinaitis, but at least he knows the ways of Japan. He was a big influence in getting MVP over to Japan.
Yeah.
And Laurinaitis knows the customs there. It's funny, he had some of the best stuff from his career. You know, you can make fun of him for being the dynamic dudes and stuff, but he had a great career in Japan, so I'm sure between him and Albert, they really understand Japan as far as trainers go, and Balor does as well, that yep. those guys would have really been able to help blend everything together.
Like
the Dudleys too, by yeah. the way.
And the days where you have, oh, it's just ROH territory, or it's just New Japan territory, or it's just Noah territory, or it's just WWE territory, I think for smart, for the future of pro wrestling, you got to meld them together. It's got to be a nice melting pot where you have everyone kind of working together. Like, if you had John Cena at a Wrestle Kingdom show, you don't have to have him win, but have John Cena a global commodity that people know, that's in movies, that's done an album, that's been the face of WWE for years. You have that guy at Wrestle Kingdom, you don't think that the buys, just the content and everything for Wrestle Kingdom and New Japan don't go through the roof suddenly? And mm-hmm. WWE gets a big rub from it because it's like, that's our guy. Look, see, this is John Cena.
Yeah, exactly. But let's, that part is well and gone. Let's focus more on these signings too. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people are going to be shouting at the top of the lungs, well, AJ's been there. And I'm not going to count AJ Styles being a WWE guy with a match unjacked against Hurricane Helms. Sure, he's been present in the company, and he was under contract when they bought WCW. But let's be honest, AJ Styles hasn't been AJ Styles of the WWE.
No, and I don't think AJ Styles has been AJ Styles since he started his New Japan run. I think he really needed that before he went to WWE. New Japan really revitalized what
yeah, it means. It took him more seriously.
Yeah. And it means to be the phenomenal one. And
I mean, go ahead and then I'll talk after.
I look at AJ Styles as he needed that time in New Japan, and that was one of the big things on the WWE website when they posted about the rumor, was they talked about his accomplishments in New Japan. And it wasn't like taking a slight at New Japan. It was talking about, these are serious accomplishments. These are nothing to sit there and go, they're small little petty things.
I think as even Vince takes New Japan seriously yeah. as a territory, that they can recognize. Yeah. I don't think he takes CNA as a serious competitor that they can recognize. I would like them to recognize him as an NWA champion, because he is, much like Christian's an NWA champion. Much like if Kurt came in, Kurt was an NWA champion as well when TNA had that belt. But if they're not going to recognize, I don't know if the Dudleys never became NWA tag team title champions there, I don't think.
No, I don't believe so.
But I would like them to recognize him for being an NWA champion, because that's, you know, it's a big belt.
Yep. No, it totally is. I totally agree with you. I look at AJ Styles became a valuable commodity the minute he stepped into New Japan, formed the Bullet Club, and WWE acknowledged the existence of the Bullet Club. That was
Would you agree with me, too, even though we love Kurt Angle? And TNA, it sounded like, by all accounts, had a great show on Pop TV tonight, so cheers to them. We want TNA to do good. But when TNA lost AJ, it really felt like they lost their heart.
Yeah. AJ was, like you've said it before, he is the Sting of TNA.
Yeah.
He was the heart and soul of there. He was there. Basically, he had a five-star match there. And that's hard to kind of comprehend.
He had one of an iconic match. That triple threat with Joe Daniels and him was one of those iconic matches in wrestling history. And two of those guys are going to be in the company. I don't ever see Christopher Daniels making it to the company.
No, I think Christopher Daniels is happy being an independent guy. And you know what? All the more power to him. Keep doing. I've always believed for wrestling, for life, do what makes you happy.
Mm.
And like, if you're happy not being in WWE, then just keep going. Like, we can sit here and fantasy book and sit there and go, God, I wish this guy was here. Or God, I wish this guy was here. But at the end of the day, these are people that are going to decide what's best for their family, much like the Young Bucks did. They signed with ROH. Good on them. I think that AJ kind of looked at it as his value's high. He can go into WWE.
He also, this is all he had left. He's wrestled for Ring of Honor. He did the Japan thing. He wrestled for TNA. And he built a company there. And he got matches against Kurt Angle and Sting. And got to be in the same ring as Hulk Hogan. For whatever that name still means, and it meant at the time. And he got to be against all these legends in TNA, and now he gets to step his foot into the WWE and maybe have a face-to-face with a Shawn Michaels. Maybe not wrestle him, but face-to-face with Shawn Michaels, and gets to maybe wrestle Chris Jericho. Like, a Chris Jericho in an AJ Styles match is a match that I haven't talked to you on purpose, because that's a match that I don't think any of us thought could ever happen. And that is a dream match that really is the definition of a dream match, because you never thought it could happen.
Yeah. Like, there's so many things now with this signing that I think I look at, like, an AJ, a Doc, and a Anderson. There's so much potential for these dream matches. And I think we're going to get a lot of things that we never thought possible. And I think Vince recognizes who AJ Styles is.
I wonder, because AJ Styles did an interview with Live Audio Wrestling and the Fight Network after he had left TNA, and there's something about he had to call WWE to see their interest, and there was none, not even for NXT.
And now, suddenly, he's revitalized.
And now he's getting so much money that it's, in Dave Meltzer's words tonight, Joel, AJ has so much money, and so does Nakamura, that to put them on NXT would be criminal. Because they are getting way too much money to justify them going on to NXT.
Yeah. No, and I totally agree with you. Like, if they're making the type of money that Meltzer's reporting, we don't have an exact figure. But
no.
Vince McMahon now recognizes the value of both these guys, and I think that you gotta...
Well, what the reported amount was when AJ left TNA, AJ turned down, I think it was $500,000.
Oh, wow.
And but he made double that on the independent circuit and with Japan.
Yeah.
And the reason he left TNA, because it broke his heart, was because of his family.
Yeah.
And I just think he felt dead inside, because, I mean, that last angle they did was him versus Dixie, and it didn't really work out really well. And then he, like you said, he went to Japan. And I think WWE saw that. They saw a deflated guy, and I want to be surprised if in a few years maybe we hear a story that Hunter told him, like, listen, like, we really want you, but you're just not a hot commodity right now. Go to Japan and try to figure yourself out there and then come back. Like, we've heard them tell stuff like this to Drew McIntyre and to Harry Smith and to even Chris Masters before he came back. Go somewhere else, even MVP, like, go somewhere else, figure yourself out, and the door's always open.
Yeah. You know, as much as we like to crap on WWE and just go, holy crap, look at what they're doing, this is brutal, this is horrible, they do right by a lot of guys. Like, they give guys a chance, at least a small chance at success. And I don't know about the AJ Styles story, but they obviously, he came back, and he's come back relevant, hot, and ready to go. I think there's a bucket list of matches that he can knock off. Yep. I would not be surprised if we see a triple threat match, Josh, at one point with Samoa Joe, John Cena, and AJ Styles.
That'd be pretty great.
Yep. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if AJ has a program with Kevin Owens. I wouldn't be surprised if AJ Styles has a program with Samoa Joe, with
Jericho. I wonder if Jericho's comeback is to have the match with AJ at WrestleMania.
That would make sense. That could be,
because the rumor was today that Jericho came back for a really big program at WrestleMania. So I'm wondering, just dream booking here, we've heard that AJ is going to come to the Royal Rumble. AJ won Jericho too.
Yeah.
And here's one guy that, I mean, I think it's a throwaway, but we're not throwing in the situation as Dolph Ziggler, but it seems like Dolph is just DOA.
Yeah, he really is. But, you know, that would make perfect sense. That's the hook that Jericho's always wanted was. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Jericho's known as a guy that has no problem laying down, if it makes sense.
He laid down for Fandango, so.
He put Styles over at WrestleMania. That's a big deal. Suddenly that shoots him up. And then you have Finn, you have Carl Anderson.
You can even tell the story, too, with AJ. It's Michaels to Jericho, Jericho to AJ in some parallels.
Yep. They have some similarities. And I think Jericho would have no problem taking the Styles clash. And that's something, I think, that's a big debate right now. Is do we see the Styles Clash in WWE?
And the one thing I've loved about the Styles Clash is it's a very protective move, to the point where when Kenny Omega hit him with it, it was just like, whoa, he used the Styles Clash on him. It's always generates heat when you use another performer's finisher on them.
Yeah.
But when you see the Styles Clash used, I mean, we saw it last year with an AJ and Okada match.
Yeah.
It was just the way you injured Yoshitatsu and other performers and then built it up to that. It was tremendous.
Yeah, and really the thing is, like I've heard with the Styles Clash, all you have to do is you have to get in your head.
Tuck your chin.
Put your head back. Yeah. You put your head back.
You put your head back. Yeah. Don't tuck your chin.
Because then you're going to be in for a world of trouble, because then your head's hitting that mat and his weight's falling on you. I think we probably do see a Styles Clash, and I think that, man, Jericho's keeps popping up here and there. I don't know how many more times we're going to get that, but to think that this WrestleMania we could have AJ Styles versus Chris Jericho on the undercard is phenomenal.
No pun intended. So I think we've talked enough about AJ.
Yep.
And to me personally, it's in this millennium, in this decade, there's three guys, really three or four guys that really have stood out to me. And it's Kurt Angle's one, CM Punk's one, and obviously Daniel Bryan's right there. But AJ Styles has been in the mix of one or two for me between CM Punk and him for the longest time. And unfortunately, you know, we don't have Punk right now. But the fact to get the chance to see AJ Styles is, like you said, it's pretty phenomenal. But let's move on to the other participants here. Let's talk about the latter of it before we get to the really, really other big piece. And that's Carl Anderson, Doc Gallows. Doc Gallows, who has been
Festus
in WWE before. He was Festus, but more importantly, when he was Gallows in the Straight Edge Society. Had some good stuff there. Never really got his due. He was in TNA with their Sons of Anarchy ripoff, and then really found himself again in New Japan. And Carl Anderson, he's a workhouse. Of course, the dream match you and I have talked about offline is Dawson and Wilder versus them.
Yeah, I think you can have them versus the Dudleys. I think you can have them versus the Usos versus the New Day. Oh, you can do a fair bit with them, and there's always that still predominant rumor that Red Dragon may come to WWE.
Really?
Yeah, that's popped up. That's bubbled up every once in a while.
Dave Meltzer's tag team of the year, I believe.
You have them come in, and suddenly you've got a very stacked.
Just getting Bobby Fish by himself, I mean.
Yeah. You suddenly have that group working with, like, I think Anderson and Gallows are a serious tag team. I do think they're going to be paired up with Finn right away because Anderson and Finn are so tight.
Yeah, we'll get to the Finn aspect on this in a second. So we have them, and then there's the really interesting part. I think if we just heard about AJ and the North American guys, let's call them for a second, you and I, it still would have been a big story.
Yeah.
Especially with the AJ part, but the part to me
is getting the King of Strong Style.
Getting Nakamura. Yeah. And the thing I was kind of doing research and writing those notes, there's four big guys in Japan right now. It was AJ, it was Nakamura, and it was Okada and Tanahashi. And they just split off half of them.
Yeah.
And Okada and Tanahashi had a fabulous match at the World Cup at Wrestle Kingdom. Great. But you took Nakamura and AJ from them, and Nakamura, who's been the pulse of that company, one of the main pulses of that company. And you look at him, and you look at his style, and I remember last year when we watched Wrestle Kingdom, you and I were like, this guy would just fit in the WWE just because of his personality. Doesn't even need to speak English to translate his personality over.
The best way I've ever heard him described is a Freddie Mercury. Like, if anyone's ever seen Queen or Freddie Mercury perform,
mixes with Michael Jackson.
Yeah, you see that personality, that flamboyant, and it's like that's fantastic for you get a guy that. You get a guy that is the King of Strong Style, who's very physical, very brutal, a guy that is very much going to beat guys down. And like I said, a dream match would be him versus Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, I know. Or him versus Cesaro would be tremendous as well.
This guy has charisma. This guy has personality. Like, when he came out for Wrestle Kingdom, he's like, who is this guy? I need to know who this guy is.
Yeah, I think it was one of the guys when we watched Wrestle Kingdom last year, and it was both of our real first taste of Japan. I mean, I don't know about you, but I had watched just the Watch Shelton and MVP were doing. I kind of wanted to keep tabs on them, and Harry Smith as well.
Yeah.
But that was like one of the first full shows I had watched, and just keeping an eye on Nakamura, it's like, this guy is really impressive. And that Wei Ting from the Fight Network really brought up a point, too. It's really exciting, too, this diversity that Hunter has added as the talent relation with a guy like Apollo Crews and with Hideo. And it's really cool that someone from Japan, like Nakamura, has caught their eye, and they can add this extra diversity on the team. So you can have some Asian influence. You have African-American influence into it. And there's all these different guys. Is that just a whole bunch of white guys on the team? And maybe we can have our first non-white champion, that I guess, except for The Rock. But that's just something really exciting.
Yeah, and I think that probably one of the promises they had to make to a Nakamura or an AJ is they're not going to screw them over. They are going to treat them like the properties that they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, Nakamura has a bunch of ideas in his head for how he comes out, how he presents himself. It's a lot of things that I think, like, and they even mentioned on the WWE article was Daniel Bryan wants to face Nakamura.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big deal because
that's another dream match at WrestleMania.
Yeah, and I think you could, like, Nakamura still has to take care of a few things in New Japan.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be coming right away. But even if it's
Meltzer said by mid-February, March should be fine.
Yeah. So mid-February, March. So you got that time where he can come over. You give him 2 weeks down in the performance center. Get him used to our style. Kind of work with him. You have the right pieces there to work with him to make sure he's comfortable. AJ will already be there, so AJ can work with him as well.
Hideo.
Yeah, Hideo as well.
Finn.
Yeah.
Albert.
All these guys that will be able to help him transition into it. And I don't think we're gonna see another case of Sin Cara. I think he's gonna come here and work his butt off.
So not to interrupt you, I think it really helps that the head trainer knows Japan and lived in Japan.
Yeah. I think that that helps, and I think you see a lot of they have if they do it right, they position him for success, and I think you position him for success, man, that guy's gonna go to the moon. And like, I'm not gonna sit here and say any of these guys will hold the WWE World Heavyweight Title because I have my doubts.
Yeah, I'm worried about that. I think a guy that we're gonna get to in a second might have the title this year, but we'll get to that in a second.
I look at it as like, I don't care how many world title runs you have. If you entertain me and you engage me, like Santino Marella, to bring him up on this podcast, mm-hmm. never hold a WWE title, but when you see Santino, you go, hey, that's Santino. This is kind of cool to see Santino again.
I mean, even to another level, Mr. Perfect.
Yep.
Bulldog.
Owen.
Yeah.
You saw these guys, and you're like, even though they never carried the big title, Roddy Piper. You have all these guys that never carry the title, but they still mean something. And I think the same thing can be said for AJ, for Nakamura, for Gallows, for Anderson. All those guys, yeah, okay, they're not going to carry the title, but I guarantee you they're going to have a lot of fun. They're going to be a joy to watch. They're going to have some really good matches. They're going to have some hard-hitting, stiff matches. They're going to have matches with John Cena. They're going to have matches with Cesaro. They're going to have matches with Seth Rollins, Josh.
Tyson Kidd.
But I think the key to all of this is the rise of the demon.
Yeah, I think that's the thing out of this. I think when Finn said he wanted to stay there, he was just being cheeky.
Yeah.
I think he's known all along what was going to go on. I think this is his plan all along. We know that the contracts in Japan, they only go a year.
Yeah.
Except for maybe Okada's, I believe, is still going on.
Oh, they're going to protect Okada.
Yeah. We know Kodo was backstage at that Brooklyn show, I believe.
Yeah.
And they were looking at him, and now they're going to protect Kodo because they need him to be one of the new main eventers in the company.
Like, I think this is the rise of Finn Balor.
I think that I'm wondering how they connect these all together. And it's weird because, you know, we have this Royal Rumble stipulation now with the title being up. And I don't think it's going to go to 40. I think it's going to stay. It sounds like it's staying at 30.
Yeah.
It just seems like with everything we want to happen, Meltzer was saying that they really wanted this AJ thing to be a big surprise. And they're really pissed off about that. But there's still another super big surprise. So here, I guess we can get into the Finn part of this and we can continue with this talk. So my guess on the big surprise is one of two things. Number one, maybe Finn's one of the big surprises.
Yeah.
We have been speculating that Finn's going to be at the Royal Rumble for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
The biggest one, and this is a conversation that's been about a week and a half of us I wanted to talk about, and that would be The Rock.
Yeah.
Does The Rock go in the Royal Rumble, win the championship, and face his cousin?
That would be huge. And the one thing that you see, The Rock announcement is something we haven't talked about yet, and it's a good time as any. Let's hit on that.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to kind of go all over the place. It's going to be one of the longer podcasts we have. This is the debut podcast for Stick Boy, like the USA Network getting SmackDown and Pop getting TNA. Welcome to Stick Boy One Fall. We're going in right.
I think The Rock, I don't think The Rock will enter the Rumble, but it could happen. It could totally be that big surprise.
Well, the thing is, Joel, number one, did not like how he announced it. I did not like him going on Instagram. I thought they should announce that on television.
Yeah.
That was a waste. That was a waste of what they should have done with the company.
They want that social media buzz. That's the big
thing. No, I get that, but you can get the social media buzz after. Like, why would you not? You this is what you do. The Rock comes on his Instagram. I have an electrifying announcement tonight on Raw. That's it.
I think his baller schedule screwed that.
But all you have to do is it really so hard? He did the little thing there. All you have to do is halfway through get a pre-shot. I'm going to be at WrestleMania. Done. Is that really so hard to get done? He did the video that they put up on Instagram. Could you not just have 2 seconds of The Rock going to be at WrestleMania on Raw and you build an extra set of people turning in just for that instead of wasting it on nothing on Instagram? Yeah.
Question. Ballers is being shot in Miami, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's doing some Baywatch stuff too. And that's the thing about WrestleMania too, is he's going to be shooting Baywatch at the same time. I don't know which company has Baywatch, but will they allow him physical activity outside of the movie?
That's my biggest thing, because after he tore his oblique, that really
two matches, two tears.
And that's my thought is, man, he can't. I think if I was a big movie guy, I wouldn't want him wrestling. I wouldn't care how much. I'd want him to show up, talk. That's where I don't think he wrestles at WrestleMania, but I think he's going to be visibly there. And I think it'll lead to, I think he's going to block off some time next year to do something.
Well, does he have a studio deal? Because you know how some guys, for example, Robert Downey Jr. has a deal with Disney and the Avengers.
Yeah.
Does The Rock have studio deals with anybody?
I don't know. I don't know The Rock's
business. I know he has a 2-picture deal with Disney again.
Yeah.
But I don't know any more than that.
I think the biggest thing with The Rock is he's a busy man. I don't think we will see him wrestle, but I think we'll see a hint at something for next year, because Rock still wants to wrestle a few matches. And now with some of these guys that Rock never faced, Rock versus AJ Styles.
I don't think that will happen.
I don't think that'll happen either, but now it's kind of that little bit like, hey, Rock, we got some new guys in here that if you want to work with any of them, I do think The Rock's final match, I know who The Rock's final match is.
It's either Taker or Roman.
I'm kind of going off the board. Roman's a good one. Roman's a really good one. But I would not be surprised if Rock's final match was KO.
That's an interesting one. That's a guy that gets thrown around with a lot of guys, but what will happen with it?
I don't know the booking aspect of it. I just think that there's that connection with the two of them that, you know, the tattoo and how much The Rock influenced Kevin Owens. And I mean, Kevin Owens is a guy that, for all intents and purposes, is probably one of the biggest stars right now. Not with anyone showing up, but I think he's one of the bigger stars that they have. And I think if you want to do good business, having The Rock and Kevin Owens go toe-to-toe, promo-wise, and just let them have a wrestling match, and it'll be kind of like that Punk, but I think that The Rock will lay down. The Roman Reigns makes sense, too. I mean, you have him put over his cousin. That's a big deal. That helps propel his cousin further. His cousin's getting over. His cousin's working his ass off right now. So having him beat The Rock would be another big thing for him. Would be another feather in his cap. And Roman Reigns, as much as we hate him, he doesn't have a lot of feathers in his cap yet. So now it's time to start adding them.
He has getting screwed of the title a lot. Do you, so who else do you think with this Rock thing? To me, it's if you're going to hype it up this much, I just can't see you do anything but a match. But again, it depends what Baywatch is going to let him do.
That's the biggest thing. That's the only thing that's hindering it. If he didn't have that, he'd be there wrestling. And probably be Brock. And that's the other thing that I think people, like if you told your studio, oh, I'm wrestling. Oh, who are you wrestling? Brock Lesnar. And they do a little research on Brock Lesnar. Yeah, are you sure you want to do this? Like, I mean, are you sure? Like, I don't think we can let you do this because that's
even with Roman. It's a green guy. And with Brock, he's going to beat the crap out of him. So I don't really know. Like, can you think of any other opponents that can go that way?
Nothing really that stands out right now. Like, I don't want to see Cena again. That's done and finished. Nothing that really comes to mind.
Could you see maybe a KO?
Yeah, a KO would be the one. KO, Roman, and Lesnar. Those are the three names.
What about, like, something with the Ronda stuff? What about that?
I think the Ronda stuff took a serious hit with her loss last year.
Because there's been some rumors that maybe she can still do it. She's doing SNL on the 23rd.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of like the Steve Austin, the $6 million man kind of thing.
Yeah.
We have the technology. It's time to rebuild.
Yeah.
And I think that's the start of the rebuilding of Ronda Rousey's brand.
Yep.
As much as it hasn't really been destroyed, she got knocked out. It happens.
She seems very, did you see her Instagram post?
No.
She apparently had a quote on there saying, I was once idolized, or I was once an idol, and once people loved me. and was just kind of this very, like, I don't think people have turned on Ronda, but I think she, I don't know, I don't
that want... sounds very like feel sorry for me, and no one's turned, I haven't turned on Ronda Rousey. I still like Ronda Rousey. I think that she went into a match, she got cocky, and not even that she got cocky, I think that she went into a fight and that she, it was unprepared because her life is different. She's not the fighter anymore. She's a celebrity.
Yeah.
And she let the celebrity lifestyle overtake her, and I think she knows that. And also, and I don't want to get into an MMA tangent, and by the way, I think one guy we missed on our best promo of the year was Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
But Holly Holm has talked about wanting to take a fight with Misha Tate beforehand.
Yeah.
I think that would be the stupidest thing in the world Holly Holm could do.
Yeah.
Because you're costing yourself way too much money. Sit back, relax, stay healthy, wait for UFC 200, and cash in. Because if you lose to Misha Tate, there goes the rematch, there goes all that money. Like, the rematch for Holly Holm is still something, but if it doesn't have the belt, that extra luster is not there anymore. Yeah. And if people know that Misha Tate, someone that Ronda Rousey's knocked out and beat twice, not knocked out, but just beat twice, then the luster for what Holly Holm has isn't there as much anymore.
Yeah, and that's a big thing. You just don't know what's going to happen. UFC is, yeah, you, I've compared UFC to Russian roulette. You just don't know.
Yeah, anyone can go down to done. It happened to GSP. Silva was the one I never thought it would happen to.
Oh, I was like, it's coming. It's coming for Silva. But back to the world of pro wrestling.
But with the Ronda thing, I still think maybe it's funny that coincidentally the Saturday Night Live is the day before the Rumble. So maybe he takes the flight from New York to Orlando.
Yeah.
Who knows? And I mean, that's another thing with the Rumble. We can go back there. Everything's so close to Florida, Joel. Orlando, Tampa is about an hour drive. It's not too far for Finn. And I think Finn could be one of those guys in the Rumble, but I'm just, like I was saying before, I'm trying to calculate everything in my mind. And so we have all four Wyatts in there already, right?
Yep.
And so that's four
Big
slots.
Big Show, Jericho.
Big Show, Jericho, Curtis Axel, obviously Roman Reigns. You'd have to think Cena. I have to think Brock. So there's 10 guys right there.
You got to think, and you have AJ, you're going to have Finn.
I can't guarantee those two yet, I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I think Adolph, I think KO and Dean Ambrose do double duty.
Yep.
I doubt Tyler Breeze will be in it because I think they forgot who he is already.
Yeah.
I think all the guys in the Social Outcast will be in there.
Yeah. I hope they do good. I enjoyed what they did.
But as far as the big, you got to think there's going to be at least four or five big surprises.
Yeah.
Right? So yeah,
there's one name I'm hoping, but.
So, and that would be Brian.
Well, two names now.
Who was the other one?
He has an Olympic gold medal.
Kurt, I don't think it's going to happen because he still has dates with TNA going to the end of January. So Kurt isn't going to happen. I think you're looking at guys. So the guys we think are those four big guns, the Japan guys. So AJ, Finn, and Carl Anderson and Doc. But I don't think Carl Anderson and Doc go in the Rumble.
No, I don't. They still have dates.
Yeah.
They're not going to be till later. They're going to be, I think AJ will help Finn, and then they're just going to start adding guys to come out and help.
So you have Finn, AJ, I say Hunter's a surprise, technically. Yep. And then you have the MVPs, the Sheltons, the Carlitos of the world.
Yeah.
Because I think one of those guys is coming back full-time in the company, and I think it's probably MVP or Carlito.
I don't think it's Carlito. I think put money on it. I put a little bit more money on MVP.
Yeah, I think it's MVP too. I say John Morrison, but it seems like he's re-upped with Lucha Underground.
He's in Tappy there.
Yeah. Can you think of any other big surprises that may come?
Nothing really comes to mind. I think this is more the Royal Rumble of anticipation than surprises. It's when that music hits and when you see AJ Styles come out.
I guess we said The Rock is another one.
Yeah.
The Rock may indeed be in there, so we're anticipating The Rock. I think with the title being at stake, it adds that anticipation to it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if you're booking it right, that AJ and Finn would stay in there for a while if they're both in it. And, I mean, another one really quickly here before I fantasy book is Sammy.
Yep, Sammy and KO.
But I think the only reason I don't think this happened is because, well, I think Brock's getting eliminated, first of all. And I think he's either getting eliminated by the Wyatts or he's either getting eliminated by KO, and that's setting up the WrestleMania program.
Yeah, that's what's going to be. That's what, because it won't be a big loss on Brock's.
No, I've heard the Bray's going to be look really strong, and that's probably they're going to make KO either eliminate Brock or Bray either eliminate Brock. One of those two things is going to happen.
Yeah.
I think KO will be better because they just don't know what you can do with the Wyatts. Yeah. And at least with KO, it's prize fighter versus prize fighter.
Yeah, that's true.
What I think is going to happen, if I was booking it correctly, and if you're going to build this new authority, do you want to make AJ a heel right away? And same with Finn, are they heels right away?
I think so. I think they're kind of that Balor Bullet Club type.
And Hunter's part of the Balor Club.
Yeah.
So I think AJ comes in, AJ Jericho, they do their thing. I think we get Roman comes in around 18, I say, 18, 20-ish. He's destroying everyone. Roman's throwing everyone out the ring. But Finn and AJ are still in there. They're holding strong. And he finally throws out AJ. He throws out Finn. Number 28 comes in. Number 29, whatever. And it's Hunter.
Yeah.
And Hunter comes in. He gets a few shots in, but Roman's looking strong. And then Finn and AJ jump in the ring. No disqualification, Royal Rumble. They come in and start attacking him. Hunter sets up directions. And they throw Brock, whoever, over. And then they have whoever else come in. I think almost Hunter, if action, the scenario is probably do better at 30, I'd say.
Yeah.
But I think...
Unless you want to throw in a little treat for the fans and you have Brian come out at 30, and you think, yeah. Oh, he'll be the one that'll...
Or, if you really want to set things up, I mean, maybe you have Finn or someone beat Roman, and you have The Rock come out and try to knock out Hunter, and then you still get Hunter and Rock thing.
Yeah.
So it's exciting because there's a lot of different scenarios that can happen at the Rumble this year.
Yeah, this is one Royal Rumble. Like, I know we were down last year because we knew what was coming.
We knew Brian wasn't going to win. We wanted it. And I think it wasn't even that Brian didn't win. It was that
Brian lasted so short, and it was so predictable, and it wasn't what fans quite wanted. It felt like they were forcing Roman down our throat. Roman didn't have a great showing beforehand. He hadn't built himself up. So it really felt like it was just being like, Roman's going to be the guy. I don't care what you guys think. This year, there's a lot of like, what's going to happen? Like, there are some guys in the Royal Rumble for sure that you don't want to win. But there's a lot of guys where you're like, oh, crap. What happens if they win? What happens if the Social Outcasts win? What happens if AJ comes in and wins? What happens if Finn wins? What happens if KO wins? What happens if Brock just destroys everyone and takes the title? And just walks away and is happy. You know, there's a lot of possibility. There's a lot of potential. This is the first time in years where I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen at WrestleMania. I don't know what's going to happen at Fastlane.
No, we have zero idea. The only one we think... Is that Taker's facing Cena? And that's why you're like, maybe they give the belt to Taker and it's Taker and Cena.
Yeah.
And, or maybe they give it to Cena and that's how he gets 16 because that's where Flair got his.
You know who's going to be 30?
Who's that?
It could be The Undertaker.
It could be Undertaker. And here's a name I've heard circulating around today. I think it's just fan service because he's shooting a movie. Is Dave? Is Big Dave?
Yeah.
Do you think they bring Big Dave back?
No, I think it's fan service. He wants another match, but I just don't think it's right now.
Well, the two guys that he wants a match with, I mean, he wants a match with Titus, and some people were like, well, you know, Titus O'Neil looked really good on Raw, and maybe that Titus-Batista match will finally happen. And I'm sorry, they want WrestleMania to sell out.
Yeah.
And if they want WrestleMania to sell out, they're not doing Batista versus Titus O'Neil. If they did a Batista match, it's against two guys, in my opinion. Well, really three. I think you would agree with me, and there's different names for Dave Batista to tell me. One is Hunter.
Yep.
Other is Brock.
Yep.
Wildcard is Goldberg.
Yeah, and Goldberg, we haven't brought him up on the podcast, but there's rumors that they want to sign him to a 6-month deal.
Really?
Yeah.
And who would he face at WrestleMania?
Well, I don't know if it'd be at WrestleMania, but it would be 6 months at a certain point in the year, in the calendar year, where he would do Brock dates. He'd be a special attraction.
Yeah, I mean, you and I both have our thoughts on Goldberg, so I think. But if I think if Goldberg is booked like that, that's how he should be booked.
Yeah,
that's how Goldberg should be booked. And if you can build him like that, and he seems like a guy that keeps in shape.
Yeah,
I'd be completely fine with that for Goldberg to do that. And I think, you know, the thing is, Joel, they want to beat that Detroit record of WrestleMania 3.
Yeah,
they want to beat that record. And as much as we don't like the name Goldberg, you look at our friend Paul, who is that? Paul is the audience they want.
Yep.
That's the guys they want, is the guys that watch it casually, and they see stuff, and like, oh, Goldberg, I want to watch that. For you and I, we're going to get more excited if Okada went there, and they're going to have no idea who Okada is. Better example, I guess, Nakamura and AJ. But yep. We're going to get excited for that. So if a Jericho-AJ match happens, like, that's what we're going to be excited for. If they got Goldberg and Ryback, some people will be really, really excited about that.
Yep. And that's the thing. They can't just pander to us.
No.
They pander to everyone.
They have to pander more to everyone. I think even for the Royal Rumble, something I noticed today that I think is a little bit of a fly in the ointment for viewing is that they face the NFL championship games.
See, and here's the thing. The NFL did that on purpose. It wasn't WWE. WWE had this booked like 6-7 months in advance. It was the NFL that was like, we'll put it here.
I don't think the NFL really cared what the WWE did, though.
No, and I don't think either of them.
It's weird because, you know, like WWE normally tries to stay away from these. They normally go that week where the Pro Bowl happens because they know it's a free week for them. That's always been happening. It's always the WWE versus the Pro Bowl. And they're like, no one watched the Pro Bowl. This is our week before the Super Bowl. It's always been that way.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened. I think maybe you're right. Maybe it's just the way things were broke down. Maybe the NFL did it as an FU to the WWE.
Yeah.
It just sucks in a year that for the WWE that's been really tough against Monday Night Football, they have to go against the championship games.
Yeah.
And for me, it sucks that I won't be able to watch it live because of other commitments to things. But this is something we'll talk about off air. It's just, that's going to hurt the impact of what things are.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to say the positive of it is that last year it ended around 7, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And that's when that Conor McGregor fight happens when he jumped the fence and went at Aldo. So I think just before the actual Royal Rumble match happens, we'll be getting into when the game started. I think that's when the Royal Rumble match will stop. So if you're one that just watched the Royal Rumble match, that's going to be very helpful for you.
Here's the biggest thing. I think, especially with the WWE Network, you just pause the Royal Rumble.
Absolutely. It's that spoiler age we live in, right?
All you got to do is you got to decide what you want more. You want spoilers or you want to watch pro wrestling and be surprised. And I think for the Royal Rumble, you turn your phone off.
Yeah, I think. Well, I mean, the thing is, though, like, during those games, Twitter is such a big tool, though, too, right? And that's going to be the hard thing is a lot of people are going to want to watch Twitter. If your player gets injured or you're watching the AFC, I don't know which one's going to be going against them. One of them will be in the afternoon or one of them will be in the mid-afternoon tonight against them. So let's say it's the AFC game. I can't remember. It'll probably be NFC because then AFC was last year. So let's say you're watching the NFC game and it's Panthers versus Seahawks and all of a sudden Cam Newton gets hurt. You're going to be going on Twitter. What's new with Cam Newton? And you're going to be switching your timeline. What's going on with Cam Newton? Oh, who's the backup for them? And you're going to be searching your phone crazy for that. And that's where the spoiler stuff can really affect some people.
Yeah. I just think that at the end of the day, you know, spoilers will suck. But if you want to check your phone, you're taking your life in your hands.
Oh, yeah. You're going down the rabbit hole. It's like people that complained about – we'll talk about this on our Star Wars pod. But it's like the people that complained about Star Wars spoilers – but then they go on Twitter and search Star Wars.
Yeah.
What do you think is going to come up? If you go on Twitter, if you just use the search and search Cam Newton, for example, you should be okay. But if you're going on your timeline and you know you follow journalists like Dave Meltzer, for example, you know something is going to catch your eye that you're not going to see.
Yeah.
And to a bigger argument to finish off this NFL versus WWE again, because I can't believe we're doing this still, they're still going against each other, is The matches for the actual Royal Rumble, aside from the Royal Rumble themselves, may not be very good.
No. I mean, that's the other thing. I think you can get by missing the undercard. It's the Royal Rumble you care about. Unless there's a surprise on the undercard, but again, you're going to want to have all the surprises for the Royal Rumble. That's the biggest thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I think is WWE will plan it in such a way that you'll have all those matches go through, and they're going to try to time it as best as possible. So just as that football game's ending, then suddenly, boop, there's your Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I think that's their plan. Like I said, it was like last year with the Conor fight that led to the Aldo fight, when Conor jumped the fence and shouted at Aldo.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, it sucks for me as a fan of both. I'm going to want to watch the NFL championship game. I think here's a stupid question. If it was versus Super Bowl, I think the WWE would change the date.
No, God, no. And this is Vincent Kennedy McMahon we're talking about.
I think that's the one thing that Vince would know he couldn't compete with.
And that's why the Royal Rumble is held at the end of January and not the very end of January heading into February.
Yeah.
He knows that.
I can't remember the last time they've gone. Like, the Elimination Chamber, as far as going against sports stuff, and I want to get more into wrestling stuff here. It's just, I'd love to do like a blog about times the WWE has faced big sporting events. There's been a few Elimination Chambers that have faced the NBA All-Star Game. And there's been a few times the NHL All-Star Game has fought. I think the NHL All-Star Game is the same day as the NFL Championship Games, if I'm not mistaken.
It's a busy day.
Yeah, so it'll be an interesting time. We'll see how we go about that. We'll have a live pod one way or another that day.
Yeah.
Anyways, but I mean, that Royal Rumble period, whether it's going against the NFL or not, it's going to be a jam-packed, interesting Rumble, especially with all the news that's been going down.
I think the world of pro wrestling went from, it was kind of a meh 2015, and suddenly just became very interesting, very relevant, very socially active. And WWE's kicked the year off in a big way. God only knows what's going to happen for the rest of this year. Because, I mean, you look at the Royal Rumble's kick to the... We're on the road to WrestleMania now, Josh. And it just got bigger.
Well, and you and I had talked, during our review show, when you said, like, we're not going to do the biggest story of the year. Because the biggest story of the year, now we can say it on here, was Dusty Rhodes dying, Roddy Piper dying, and Hulk Hogan being a racist.
Yeah.
And the year before... It was Punk. I mean, to a degree, the network starting, but the network floundering a little bit too. And luckily, network has maintained. It's laughable that it just started in Japan, but that's a different story. But the news stories last year, I think that's one of the reasons we didn't want to do best news story this year, because it was just so depressing.
Yeah, it really was. This year, we're to do end of the review tomorrow. The biggest story would be this signing, or this potential signing.
Yeah, and I mean, there's more to come, because Jay Lethal is a free agent as of right now. Michael Elgin is a free agent right now. Michael Bennett and Maria Kanellis were free agents, but now they have joined TNA.
I don't think that's going to be a big loss in the grand scheme of things.
Well, I think, too, a lot of people were like, oh, well, that's too bad WWE couldn't get them. But I don't think people remember that. I don't think it could have happened. Because of two reasons. And you know what those two reasons were?
Brie mode.
Yeah. Because the Bellas do not want Maria anywhere near the company.
Yeah. So, you know.
She was originally supposed to be part of Total Divas.
She would have been great.
And the rumor was it was her idea.
Really?
Yeah. She had pitched an idea about a Diva reality show. The Bellas had pitched an idea just about them. And they were going to bring Maria back. And they're going to have her on the show with the Bellas, and the Bellas nixed it.
Jeez.
And so Michael Bennett is even Michael Bennett. In TNA, he's been called the Miracle.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and spoiler alert, I guess. I don't think you really care about this. TNA has a new champion. It's EC3 once again. He beat Matt Hardy.
Oh, well, I'm not surprised. EC3 is probably the one guy that the WWE dropped the ball with.
Yeah, but I mean, Derek Bateman was kind of a joke when he was there.
Yeah, and the Derek Bateman stuff wasn't terrible, but, you know, what he was given wasn't exactly the greatest.
I mean, when Derek Bateman went to TNA, I'm like, oh, okay, have fun. And the Derek Bateman to EC3 thing is the ultimate showing. Kind of like with Rockstar Spud. anybody can be made a main event star. It's just how you book them.
Yep. Like, we could be talking about the mismanagement of, to bring everything back to full circle, we could be talking about the mismanagement of AJ, Nakamura, Gallows, and Anderson.
I don't think there's much they can do wrong with Gallows and Anderson because I don't see them more than mid-level.
Yeah.
But, yeah, AJ, you could. All you have to do with AJ is just let him wrestle. Same with Nakamura. Just let him wrestle.
Yeah.
Even if it's under the middle card, just let him wrestle.
And you will never be disappointed with what they do.
No. I think the tough thing is, and I was realizing this yesterday, so we had NXT, and Kevin Owens was a different kind of guy. He was in NXT than he is in the WWE, right?
Yep.
But it's so hard to make a guy like Kevin Owens a Brock Lesnar when they have two shows every week and a special. It's hard to make him that beast prize fighter every week.
It definitely hurts having that number of shows. I think it's time to reduce how many times we see these guys. I think the biggest buzzword from last year was the overexposure of Seth Rollins, the potential overexposure of the New Day.
Well, that's why Seth Rollins didn't win my MVP, is because he just saw him too much, and it was some of those bad segments overdid it for him.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, you gotta, with these guys, you gotta treat them special. They gotta be like, oh man, they're on tonight. Sweet, I'm checking it out. It's not like, oh, Kevin Owens and Neville's wrestling again.
Mm-hmm.
Great. I think bring everything to a nice little bow. You know, don't overexpose these guys. Keep them treats. AJ Styles, the phenomenal one. Make it feel special that you have this guy. Make Nakamura feel special. When you see that guy and you see him wrestle a Cesaro, Daniel Bryan, a Ziggler, because it'll happen. You see yes. these matches, you're like, oh, wow, this is happening. This is a big deal. This isn't something little. This is huge.
Let's talk in some of the little minor notes here before we wrap it up. Social Outcast thoughts.
I like it. I think it's good. You know, we are going to get like a job squad soon enough anyways. Might as well let them kind of go and do things. I think the standout on the mic was Heath Slater, seconded by Curtis Axel.
Oh, thank God, finally. You know what I felt about Curtis Axel.
Yeah. I think just kind of let them do their thing. Let them try and see where it goes. It's not going to kill anyone.
My only thing I don't like, I like Adam Rose, and you know, watching that E60 story made you really feel for him. I think that should be Sandow.
Yeah, I do agree.
And Bo Dallas is fine, but I think that should be Fandango.
I agree with you too. There's a
because few... Johnny Curtis is a way better wrestler.
Yeah, I think there's a few guys that are just like maybe don't. I think, but I do think Bo's a little more prevalent in people's minds. He's jobbed out a lot, and I think you're going to see the squad pick up a lot more wins together. They're going to be. They may grow into something bigger than what WWE even thought they could.
I think Sandow may have to be one of those guys. And I think Johnny Curtis will be the same way. You look at Evan Bourne right now, Matt Sydal, going to ROH.
Yep.
And he's been able to redo himself as a character. I think Sandow and Johnny Curtis Fandango gets released, which I think is going to happen now because if they're not on this job squad.
Yeah.
Then I think that they will get a chance to go somewhere else and really show off their skills and maybe one day be able to come back.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. That's bringing everything back full circle. It was, again, it was going away and coming back, refreshing yourself. It's not the end. It's just merely kind of recharging your batteries, getting set again, and really finding where you belong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and with these new guys, you got to think cuts are coming. That's the only negative part about this is cuts are coming. I think the cuts are coming in NXT, and I think cuts are coming to the main roster.
Oh yeah, both of them are going to get cut because you got to make room for that salary, and you just got to make room for those guys. There's not enough space for everyone. Time to.
I think someone like Sin Cara could be gone. I think that's a big one that wouldn't be shocked because. I think Kalisto is starting to really show that he can stand out on himself. I do think he needs a tag team,
yeah.
But I think you put him with Neville and you're good.
I think Sin Cara will stick around for a little bit longer.
I'm just worried that he keeps on getting injured.
Yep.
And that the company has to really, really be getting a little frustrated with it.
Yeah. No, and I totally agree with
you. Especially with what they want to do with Kalisto. They want to be pushing Kalisto.
They want Kalisto Rey Mysterio level.
Yes. And I think doing the Cerro del Sol off the rope move that he did, that was a really big start to it. They want to sell those masks, right?
Yep.
So that's the start for it.
I definitely agree, but I think, you know, I totally agree with you. There's some positives to the signing, potential signing, but there's also some negatives. And boy, what a way to kick 2016 off.
It's crazy. Want to really talk quick about Charlotte. I guess he's a heel now, and I guess Big Show's a face, by the way, again.
Yeah, I don't know. Charlotte, I know for sure, is a heel, which is fine. That's where she needs to be. Flares are heels.
Yes. Oh, well, I'm fine. I think it's just funnier that Big Show's a face again.
You remember The Simpsons, the Halloween episode with the evil Krusty doll? And yeah. Bart found the switch on the back that said good and bad.
That's Big Show.
Yeah, he's just got a switch in his back, and they just flick it back and forth to whatever.
He's been in the WWE for 17 years, though. At some point, you're going to go through some of those things, right?
Yeah.
I just think it hasn't been like his pronounced. When Hunter's been heel, you know Hunter's heel. But Cena, oh, never mind. It doesn't happen yet. By the way, no Cena on Raw was really weird.
I think they're saving him for SmackDown.
Which, do you want to get into spoilers?
Yeah, sure.
It seemed very lackluster.
I'm guessing Dean retained.
Double count out, yeah.
Okay, I'm guessing Charlotte retained.
Yeah, she won. It sounds like clean.
Okay, makes sense.
So if Charlotte wins clean, there's no way they do Becky and her the Rumble then. But they probably will, but that makes no sense. I guess we have to see how it turns out on SmackDown.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I wanted to say SmackDown, but after seeing the results, the only thing I really want to see is how Mauro Ranallo does.
Yeah, I think that's another big thing that we haven't talked about.
No, I mean, I think some people know who Mauro Ranallo is just from his time in boxing and whatnot, but for us, he was on the Score, and now that's three Score employees from here in Canada that have got a chance to go to the big company.
And I mean, here's the cherry on the top that ties everything in a nice little bow. He did work with New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yep, so there's another guy right there.
New Japan's got to really be hurting.
I mean, maybe they bring up Roderick Strong full-time, but there's another free agent that WWE is circling like sharks. Not as much as Jay Lethal, from what I've been told, but Roderick Strong is out there.
Yeah.
Michael Elgin is out there. So there's guys out there. I think they want Lethal and Elgin. Yeah. Roderick Strong, I'm not sure about.
I could live with Roderick Strong being an indie guy, but Jay Lethal deserves a shot at the big stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
All right. I think we got it all.
Yeah.
Anything left on the table that we talked? I think we got everything from Raw.
Yeah,
covered. We got the Rock thing covered. The Rumble covered.
I think we covered that New Japan stuff. I think.
I mean, it's stuff that you and I have been really excited to talk about. We could go on and on and on about it, but I just don't know how much more we can really talk about it. The only thing really left with the New Japan stuff to say is we just wait for confirmation.
Yeah.
I don't think we'll have that confirmation until the Rumble.
No, and I agree with you. So right now we're just sitting and fingers crossed, hoping for the best.
I think, like I said, I think there's still a chance that Japan will sway them, because you sent me that video of Kenny Omega and the Bullet Club turning on him, and it's like, what a send. I think my text to you is the best way to say it, and it's the best way to send off is, was that was either the best write-off ever, or the best setup to a revenge angle.
Here's my thing with this. I think Styles is gone. I think Styles is out the door. He didn't have a contract with him, and I think he's out the door. especially with the ROH removing him from
that part. To me, when I saw the ROH stuff, that part to me was really the tip of the hat situation, you know?
Yeah. And if AJ signs with New Japan, that would have been plastered all over the place. It could still be plastered all over the place, but I think AJ is leaving for WWE.
The only I think one... the North American guys are pretty much set in stone.
Yeah.
Like you said.
Nakamura is not, and Nakamura could be the one that does not. But
I wonder about that one, Joel.
Here's my thing.
Me nervous.
He has said he wants to come to WWE.
Okay.
He's had interest in WWE, so I think
he's also 35. So
the time is now. That was a lot of fun, Josh. But now we get to a little bit of the downer news. John Cena, shoulder injury. Without further ado, check it out.
It's not going great, Bob.
Yeah, it's not looking good right now. Like the part that people were listening to before, we were all very excited. The New Japan deals, it was like, ooh, Japan, bring guys in. We would have John Cena versus AJ Styles. We're obviously going to get John Cena versus The Taker at WrestleMania. And as we're recording this, there's a little bit of sad news for Vince McMahon.
So John Cena has a separated shoulder. And he will be out 6 to 9 months. So it looks like he'll be joining Mr. Seth Rollins at SummerSlam.
You know...
But not WrestleMania.
You know, I could probably see them go up to... You remember those Hitler videos where they're talking to Hitler, and people put dubs over them of what he's actually saying?
Yeah.
I can see them telling Vince, and Vince being in denial on this, and being pretty upset, because...
Although, Jim Ross said this the best. He's like, this is... Well, I mean, we said this over and over again, and we haven't seen it. It's time for guys to shine. They've had this kind of roster now for the better part of 4 months without Cena. So they've kind of been used to having no Cena. That's the positive. The negative is... They weren't planning having him not for WrestleMania, though.
Yeah. See, and that's the thing. You're absolutely right. They had 4 months where they're like, we have no John. This is fine. We can kind of operate. But at the end of the day, you realize the value of John Cena.
Which
is huge.
He's a huge commodity. And, you know, one kind of thing we joked about last night, though, I think he's got an extra life this year, from the Amy Schumer movie to the Tina Fey movie, and to a bigger degree, from that stupid meme.
Yep.
And well, I think that's added another level to the John Cena character, as silly as it sounds.
Yeah. Like, you only see memes of certain wrestlers these days. Randy Orton, Cena.
Randy Savage.
There's The Rock as well, hugging The Rock or the fanny pack.
Yeah, and the Randy Savage one to follow right now.
Yeah. There's just certain wrestlers that transcend pro wrestling and are bigger than what they originally were. And I think John Cena is one of those. Like, I mean, there were a bunch of news outlets, real legit serious news outlets, that picked up his injury. It was a big deal.
Well, I mean, in WrestleMania was trending last night. It was the first thing to knock off the bats off the number one trend after 2 days.
Yeah, and that's even crazier that people know what a John Cena injury means.
Yep. It'll be the first possible WrestleMania that he will miss since WrestleMania 19. Now, the reason we say possible, Joel, well, he injured his shoulder against Mr. Kennedy, I believe it was.
Yep.
Came back and won the Royal Rumble 4 months later. I can't remember the year. Was it 2008, I want to say?
Yeah. Eight.
So he did that then. So, you know, crazier things have happened. He's Super Cena. The company isn't entirely ruling him out yet. He hasn't been crossed off. It more or less came out that he was going to face Undertaker.
Yeah.
That's almost more or less been confirmed. So now the question is, if Cena doesn't perform, where do they go from here as far as WrestleMania goes and as far as the Undertaker goes?
Well, I want to start off and ask you one question. Do you feel like you're missing out on the Cena-Taker match?
Yes, 100%. I think for the matches that we had been hearing, and there's a few more that have been kind of rumored today, along with Brock and Rock, seems like that's one of the matches now. Undertaker and Cena, to me, it was one of those things that we just never got to see. It's one of those well-protected matches within the company that you just, it's so rare that you don't see, right? Because everybody faces everybody. I mean, for the longest time, you'd be so excited. Like, oh, and Kalisto and Del Rio. I know these aren't the same levels, but just bear with me. Kalisto and Del Rio, or when Kevin Owens faces someone like Dolph Ziggler or Dean Ambrose, these are going to be great. And then you get Dean Ambrose and Kevin Owens so much now, it's like, oh, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
But Taker and Cena, these guys have not faced each other since Cena was coming out to Word Life.
Yeah.
So it's an entirely different John Cena. It's an entirely different Undertaker. It was supposed to possibly be the end of the Undertaker character. We were thinking that he was going to go into the sunset. And maybe the Demon of Death Valley is going to be going against a different demon.
Yeah. See, and now that's the other thing. With John Cena's injury, it sucks. That match would have been fantastic to see because we know what type of worker John is. We do know where the Undertaker is right now. But Undertaker still gets it. Undertaker can still go for the most part in the ring. But now it creates an opportunity for a young person to step up and potentially create a career-defining moment.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of people. I think we should run through the list that we had last night of people that Taker could face, because this is the biggest deal. It's not so much where does this affect everything else. This really is about, okay, who's Undertaker facing now? And you're finally, for the first time since the streak ended, you're actually like, who's Undertaker going to face and what's going to happen?
Yep. And we really couldn't come up with any other opponents. I mean, there's three I've heard.
Yep.
That have been going around now. One is Finn Balor. The other one is Kane.
Yeah.
And the other one is break glass in case of emergency, Daniel Bryan.
See, now, here's my thought. I like one of the three. And it's not going to be the one that you think.
Yeah.
I like Finn Balor. I don't want another Kane match. All respects to
Glenn Jacobs.
Glenn Jacobs.
Jen Glacobs.
Blah, blah, blah. All respect to Kane, I don't need to see it for a fourth time. I'm good. The Bryan match would be nice, but I don't know if they break the glass. But Finn Balor, the Demon, the Bullet Club, the Balor Club, whatever they're going to end up calling it, he suddenly becomes his villain, and he's a demon and a villain, and it kind of fits into that kind of that supernatural, weird world that Taker lives in.
And you want to talk about elevating somebody?
Oh, God, that takes Finn from NXT champion to world heavyweight, WWE world heavyweight champion contender facing mm-hmm. Taker. That makes him relevant, that makes him engaging, and especially if, say, the Bullet Club comes out and costs Taker that match and Balor wins, that just puts Balor on another level. Not the Brock level, but puts him, definitely elevates him higher than what he would have if he just came in and started wrestling.
Now, the other side of this map as well is Cena is such a big star that I think it's going to take an extra addition to the WrestleMania card to boost up what they want to do there, because not only they want to make this the biggest WrestleMania like every year, but they literally do want to make this the biggest WrestleMania as far as attendance this year.
Yeah.
And there's still a few tickets left, and you want to get in that audience, and losing John Cena is a big, big name.
Yep.
So now you got to go and maybe dip into the free agent pool along with NXT. We think Finn's going to come up, maybe a Samoa Joe. But I think you got to dip into that free agent pool if you weren't already. And there's three big free agents that you and I have discussed, and I'll go in the order. Number one, it's time to call Big Dave. Yep. Dave Bautista. Number two, it's time to call Goldberg. Even though Joel and I will preference this every time, Joel and I are not big fans of the way Goldberg is, but we get it. For the casual audience that watched during the Attitude Era, WCW times, he is a draw. I get that point.
Yep.
And number three, we don't know when this could happen, but it could, and that's Kurt Angle.
Yeah. I think those are the three big ones, because we went through and there was a kind of a bigger list. And we really narrowed it down, because you got to look at availability, movie schedule, and just overall
stardom too.
Value.
Like, you're not going to go get a Rob Van Dam or a Jeff Hardy is tied up at TNA.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. People are tied up elsewhere now. I really think that, you know, getting someone like a Batista would be good, but Again, it depends on what his movie schedule is really like. He could have signed on for something last night.
Yeah, well, from what we've seen, and this is just source of the of his IMDb page, he's currently doing Highlander. Everything else has been shot. The Rock is doing, in the middle of Baywatch, well, he's doing WrestleMania, which we'll jump to the Rock part in a second now in all this as well, in a second here. But so those seem like the big three that you need to maybe align up.
Yeah, because, you know, you bring in Goldberg, then it's like, ooh, okay, we got Goldberg in. And I think you bring in a combination of the two, of one of the three, and you bring them in, and it just adds that little bit of, oh, that's Kurt Angle. I remember Kurt Angle. I remember Goldberg. All right, let's have it go, because you either have to fill the void with free agents or talent getting called up. Now, New Japan, some of the signings in New Japan will help fill this hole. So it's
yes,
not like you need to panic and rush out and throw
and
millions of
dollars.
As
of today, Dave Meltzer did a radio show this morning, and I guess this will go on from the last pod that we did, just leading into this story. AJ Styles has not signed a contract, but it's more or less kind of like Sting, where Sting hadn't signed a contract, but he started appearing in the network and stuff. Everything has been agreed on. It's just pen hasn't been put to paper, but everything has been agreed on with AJ Styles.
Yeah.
And Nakamura will be leaving at the end of the month as well. We haven't really heard much word about Doc and Carl Anderson. All we know is that Carl Anderson's contract, I don't think, is due till the end of January as well.
Yeah.
But Doc is free to go. So if Doc Gallows wants to come in, they could do it. He's already a known commodity. Good to go. But AJ hasn't set pen to paper, but plans are in place. And I think he will be one of the guys, too, that will be looked at to raise up with Cena gone.
Yeah. And it's the perfect time for him to come in. This is a perfect storm for him to come in.
Yeah. And then as far as The Rock, I think he becomes the biggest chip in here, because now, to me, The Rock has to wrestle. If he wasn't already, he has to wrestle.
I don't know. I don't know. I think having him wrestle would be a big boost for them, especially considering there was all those talks of, is he going to wrestle? Is he just going to appear? I think having The Rock appear is good. Having The Rock wrestle would be great. The only thing that causes me to be hesitant is his movie schedule. And that's where I kind of go.
Well, the movie schedule, it's just Baywatch. So we know that. It's the insurance is the bigger question.
Yeah, it's that insurance. It's knowing that he's been injured the last two times. Do they take a risk and let him wrestle? Because, and that's the other thing. Who are you going to have Rock wrestle?
It sounds like Brock.
And when movie companies hear you're wrestling Brock Lesnar, and they go, well, let's take a look at this Brock Lesnar fellow, and they see his body of work, they're going to be a little bit more like, yeah, well.
That makes the most sense for Brock, because you and I have been scratching our heads. Brock is the most valuable person in the company.
Yeah.
But the opponents are getting less and less important for him.
Yeah.
And it's getting to the point soon, like, who do you have him face? And The Rock is one of those guys that you would have him face, because, you know, we've heard the Kevin Owens and the Bray rumors. 3 months out, I just don't think that Kevin Owens or Bray facing a Brock Lesnar is good enough.
Yeah, I think you need to have... I totally agree. I'm still hesitant on Rock wrestling, but it'd be fantastic to see.
Also, news on The Rock, too, is that when the moment was announced, only a handful, one to five, knew that The Rock was coming in for WrestleMania, including some writers didn't even know.
I'm not surprised. It definitely seems like something that they'd want to keep kind of hush-hush.
Hush-hush via Instagram.
Yeah. Now, my question, and this is leading off of The Rock.
Yeah.
Do they break their emergency glass?
On?
Daniel Bryan.
That's the million-dollar question today. Is Bryan, and you and I talked about this off-air, the number one thing with Bryan, if you do not use him until after the Royal Rumble. For the love of God, do not do it.
Use him after.
Because if not, especially with the title up now, it doesn't matter if you have AJ Styles in there. It doesn't fucking matter. Pardon my language. It doesn't matter, because the crowd will want Daniel Bryan to win the title. So you have to do it after if you do it.
See, and here's the thing. There've been little mentions of Bryan. There's been little videos shown, and the crowd instantly starts going, yes. It's almost like Daniel Bryan? It's like Meerkat suddenly perking up and going, Daniel Bryan. Daniel
There's
Bryan.
Also the report, though, that Raw, I believe it was on, was it the Boxing Day or the first Raw after Christmas?
Yeah.
Is that Vince was very angry about the Daniel Bryan chance. The CM Punk chance he didn't really care about. He just ignored them.
Yeah.
Daniel Bryan chance really angered him.
Really?
Yeah. So I don't know what that means.
You know, I think that means that it's hard to say why Vince would get upset about that. I think it's partly because he is concerned about his overall health.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he does kind of. Maybe
I don't believe in this stuff that Vince hates Daniel Bryan. Some people have. I believe Vince looks at his company and he needs to protect everybody. Like, even though they're individual contractors, everyone is a personal investment for him.
Yep.
In merchandise and sales and marketing. And it'd be like if the crazy thing about the world of wrestling is it's a scripted television show, but it'd be like watching Mad Men and all of a sudden Don Draper's not here for the next season.
Yeah.
He'll be back soon, but Don Draper's not here for the finale. Or
he got hurt.
Or we're watching Breaking Bad. Bryan Cranston is not here for Breaking Bad this year. No Bryan Cranston. We're going to replace him with the third backstage extra. Like, you just, and you just try to call in actors and whoever you can find, but it's just, no, not John Cena at the end of the day is my one point with the equivalent of how big this can be.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing is you just lost John Cena, and we've already heard reports that Vince is very stressed about WrestleMania 32.
Mm-hmm.
This just adds to it. But
it's that selling out, man.
Yeah.
It's WrestleMania adds enough stress to Vince and the company in the first place. It's an extra addition of stress knowing that now they've lost the guy, the flagship, right?
And, yeah.
You know, it's crazy. You and I talked about this. We had to talk about this for quite a while. Is how long will John Cena stay on the course and path as the guy? And eventually, you get so overdone as that top guy. It happened to Hogan eventually. It happened to Austin. And now it's happening to John. He's just starting to break down.
Yep. You know what? And a guy's name we didn't mention a whole lot on this pod, but this is Roman Reigns' opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. He is the flagship.
Yeah. So, you know, we were sitting there, go back 6 months ago. We were all like, oh, no, not Roman. Well, it's happening. And
we really have no choice now. Roman Reigns will be in the main event no matter what.
Yep. And honestly, I go back to that. What Austin said in a podcast, it is sink or swim for Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm.
That's as simple as that.
The pool just got a lot, I don't know if it got shallower or not, but there's a lot more water for him to swim in now. Yeah. He has a little bit more time to try to swim there because a guy like AJ Styles, Nakamura, they've been the top guy in the top brand for the past 2 years in Japan.
Yeah.
So time to step up, Roman.
Yeah, because now you've got competition from the outside coming in. You have to step up. You have to.
You've got Kevin Owens on your trail. You've got Finn Balor maybe coming up. You have guys that want it.
Yeah.
That live and breathe this. Finn Balor has lived and breathed this. He left Ireland for his family. Nakamura has left Japan for his family. Kevin Owens left Canada for his family. He's still down in the States and he's doing this for his family. But I love what Kevin Owens said in that Michael Cole interview he had, that everyone does this for their families, but how much more sacrifice has some of these other guys made for their families? AJ left a company that he obviously loved in Japan to live his WWE dream.
Yeah.
So you don't think he's going to take it to another level?
Oh, this Monday Night Raw quickly is becoming must-see because it's time to see who steps up.
Mm-hmm.
Who is willing to give themselves up, sacrifice their body, and look at Vince and go, I'm the guy. It could be Ryback for all we know.
It could be. One last quick question here is, whoever the guy is going to be that they replace, because there's still big surprises in the Royal Rumble, if it is a Batista, Kurt, Goldberg, they're not going to put them into the Rumble, right? They're not going to put them on a Raw.
No.
No. It'll be a Rumble.
Yeah.
And even a guy, if they add a guy like an MVP, it's a nice, consistent piece to add. It's like an Alex Smith at quarterback. He's not an elite quarterback, but he's a consistent guy. He will get the job done. People know the name. And that's what MVP could do if he comes in the company. MVP won't be a main eventer, but he's a solid performer, and you know what he can do.
I totally agree with you, and I think hitting, this is all the really big points of Cena's injury. I know the previous pod, we were really excited. We're like, okay, where's this all going? This is going to be fantastic. I think we still get a lot of these opportunities, but they're just on pause right now. John Cena's injury obviously hurts WWE, but there's some positives, and that New Japan signing couldn't come at a better timing, as long as everything is signed pen to paper. And
yeah, I mean, Nakamura was more worried about, but like I said, as of this morning, AJ has not officially signed, but it's from the language I've been hearing, it's like what Sting had. Agreements in place. And AJ has been pretty good for his word. Maybe I'm clicheing here. He's from the South. He seems like from what one of the words was, he takes himself as a Southern gentleman, and that is your word is your bond.
Yep.
And that he has given his word to the WWE that he will be with them.
Yep. I mean, he was willing to risk it to have the honor and respect and inform New Japan that he was leaving.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think he's there. I think he's definitely one of the ones that I'm like, all right, AJ Styles will be there. What a time to be alive. It's been a crazy week.
And to bring it back to Cena really quickly here, how does this affect Cena going forward? Do they have to put Cena onto a more limited schedule now? I think it's Randy Orton had been talking about this because with the injuries that he had, and that's we talk about the cascade of injuries. Did you know that every person that walked out with a championship at WrestleMania 31 is now injured?
I did know that.
And that may not, and probably will not wrestle at this year's WrestleMania. One that has an asterisk next to them are maybe Nikki and maybe Brian, but both of them are like maybes.
That's crazy how much things can change in a year. And this is land of opportunity. You know, if all your guys drop, someone else has to step up and fill that void. It's just like in New Japan. They've lost some guys. People need to step up and fill that void. You just can't go, well, they're gone, I can't do anything. It's like, no, all right, it's my time to shine.
Do you take Cena off house shows going forward, though?
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's... And same with Randy when Randy comes back.
Yep.
Their house show days are done. If they want to do one or two, like a big date, kind of like Brock does, and you make those house shows extra special, like the Madison Square Gardens.
Yeah.
But I think for the most part, I don't have Cena anywhere near house shows anymore, because that's how this happened in Toronto.
Yeah,
and against Del Rio.
Yeah, I'd have seen it kind of kept away.
Yeah, and I one last point too with that U.S. title. I don't know what's going to happen with it. It's sad that it's been degraded on already. I almost forget that Del Rio is the U.S. champion.
Yeah,
But who better the face than Kurt Angle? Just throwing that out there for the free agents that we were talking about.
That would be perfect.
So yeah, it's. It's been a crazy week. Hopefully, things can calm down a little bit now, because it's getting a little overwhelming for the news.
Yeah.
And, hopefully we don't have to add a part three to this podcast.
Yeah, no, that's the crazy thing is we recorded this really solid podcast, and you can check it out by scrubbing all the way to the beginning. And it was a lot of fun. Like, there was a lot of excitement with the New Japan signing, and now
we had still talked about the injuries being a bummer, like to Seth and to Randy, but at Cesaro. But we were like, oh well, at least Cena's back, and we had talked about some scenarios where Cena winning the Royal Rumble, because I thought that was entirely possible.
And now it's not.
And I think Taker's out of it too. And you and I really think there's only three guys that can win this now.
Yeah,
Roman. I guess four. Roman, Hunter, Brock, Rock.
Yep, those are the four names.
Two are big asterisks.
Yeah.
Possibly, I don't know how possible they are.
Yeah, I think Roman and Hunter are the two,
14-time world champion!
All right.
Well, I mean, the good thing for Hunter now is that with Cena out, he can flip-flop the title and maybe beat Flair before Cena does.
Don't do this to me. No, no, no. I don't want to hear it. La, 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 la. I'm not listening. No, it definitely is a possibility. And the thing is, oh my God, he's going to do it.
Yep.
He's going to do it.
Yep, probably.
He's going to. Oh,
he,
no.
Wins 14 of the Rumble, loses at WrestleMania, gets it back there, has 15. Roman wins it back, then he has 16.
Aww.
Yeah.
I'm done. I'm checked out. I'm
It's all about the game and how you play it.
You bummed me out.
You weren't bummed out enough. And before we go, I think the saddest part about this is, I never thought I'd say this, is we're generally starting to like John Cena.
Yeah, like, John was having great matches, and that's probably the biggest thing.
Yeah.
Like, all joking aside and all Hunter jokes aside, man, it sucks to know we're not going to get John Cena, because John Cena delivers.
He was five moves of doom, be damned.
Yeah.
Like, he was having great matches, man.
That Royal Rumble match last year, that Kevin Owens match, his U.S. Challenge, which is just a list of matches with Cesaro, Sammy, Neville, and a bunch of other guys.
Yep.
It sucks to know you're not getting that for another 6 to 9 months.
And it's just weird. I mean, we're almost rambling at this point, so I'll wrap it up. It's just weird knowing that there's WrestleMania without John Cena there. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem right.
No one will ever catch up to The Undertaker's WrestleMania stats.
No. But it's, you think of WrestleMania, and it's duplicated with a few guys in my head. I think of The Undertaker, I think of Hogan, I think of Michaels, and then I almost think of Cena as that fourth guy you really kind of put next to WrestleMania.
Yep.
That, like, are really ingrained in the culture of WrestleMania. Taker for obvious reasons, Michaels for obvious reasons, and then Hogan is just the WrestleMania you grew up with.
Yep.
And then Cena's the WrestleMania that we know.
Yep.
He's always there, always at the crazy entrances, and that's gonna be missed. But who knows? Super Cena, does he take the serum?
Yeah, you don't know. You just don't. And that's the one thing that now people have to be worried about is he going to stay clean? Is he, okay.
WrestleMania is in 3 months.
Yep.
So will John Cena be back in 3 months for an injury that takes 6 to 9? Because last time, an injury that was supposed to take him out for, I think it was 8 to 10, he was back in 4 months. He was back in 4 months. So, well, we say that he's out for WrestleMania. Super Cena, you never know.
No. I think that's the end of... This is the end. I'm putting an end on it because we've gone... This is almost a 90-minute podcast that was supposed to just be an hour, and it just
Welcome
grew.
To Stick Boy, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Things just happened this week. Of course, the first week that this happens is, of course, when crap hits the fan for wrestling.
All right, so thanks for everyone for listening to One Fallen Stick Boy. If you want to check out everything, I guess I can promote my own stuff now too. This is fun. So I also work with it's a partnership. You can also check out all the other great podcasts on Fresh Take and check out iTunes. We talk about everything pop culture, everything sports. Big week with the NFL. We're finally dropping a big Star Wars pod today. Me and Devin Seal's thoughts on The Force Awakens. So go over to iTunes and check out Fresh Take for all the good stuff there. Check us on Twitter at Fresh Take 42 on Twitter. And Joel, where can everyone find the beautiful stuff of Stick Boy?
Well, you can find us at We Talk Podcast for all the podcast episodes. You just have to find Stick Boy Podcast. You can find Stick Boy on Facebook at Stick Boy Productions. And you can find us on Twitter at Stick Boy YYC. And you can find me on Twitter at Joel Johnson TV, where I will likely be crying about Hunter winning 16 world championships before John Cena.
Yeah. And you can find me at Jawa31, although I probably won't hit you back in any reply because I'm an asshole. Until next time, cheers!
We sure can't see John Cena now.
Enjoy the day, people.
Well, that will do it for the Stick Boy Podcast this week. Crazy world in pro wrestling. It just didn't stop. A special shout out to Josh for coming on. You were a huge help tracking down some news, being that investigative reporter journalist that you are. Huge shout out to you. This was a lot of fun. Hopefully next week we can talk about a little bit more subjects that I want to talk about other than pro wrestling. But man, it's been crazy, but it's a lot of fun. I've been enjoying this so far. 2016 obviously started off with a bang, and so we're gonna get wilder. So make sure you tune in next week
for a lot more Stick Boy goodness.